I'll read in 1 Chronicles 15, verses 11 through 15. Then David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests, and for the Levites, Uriel, Asaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Aminadab, and said to them, "You are the heads of the fathers' households of the Levites. Consecrate yourselves, both you and your relatives, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place that I have prepared for it. Because you did not carry it at first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us, for we did not seek him according to the ordinance. So the priests and the Levites consecrated themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. The sons of the Levites carried the ark of God on their shoulders with poles thereon, as Moses had commanded, according to the word of the Lord." And in our outline this morning, in the bulletin, the idea that is being presented is the idea that basically comes to us out of verse 13. "Because you did not carry it at the first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us, for we did not seek him according to the ordinance." Now, those of you who have been with us over a period of time and probably over a period of years realize that I've come to have some fondness with regard to the idea of seeking the Lord. And I was particularly interested in this text that in the New American Standard Version has to do with seeking the Lord. And I think the idea that comes out of the text is that we need to seek the Lord according to his ordinances. And as we understand that this is the case, I've given you this idea at the head of the outline that we should seek the Lord through Scripture, prayer, and the sacraments, and that as we come together in the Lord's Supper this morning, we are to draw near to Christ in communion. We are to seek his face. We are to come to him in the Lord's Supper. This is not simply an ordinance, and that's what it is. It's not simply an ordinance in which the bread is representative of the body of Christ and the fruit of the vine is representative of the blood of Christ. Indeed, this is the case, but there's much more. This is a means of grace. This is a means of grace through which we seek God and by which we draw near to God and in which we come to Christ and gain grace from him and are fed by him in a particular way. And so the idea is that we must come to God and seek his face and draw near to him in accordance with his methods, with his ordinances. And that's the text that is before us in 1 Chronicles 15, verse 13. "Because you did not carry it at the first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us, for we did not seek him according to the ordinance." Now, what's going on here? What's going on is that earlier, God broke out against a man who put his hand on the Ark of the Covenant to steady it when it was about to fall off of a cart which had been hewn new for the very purpose of transporting that valuable cargo to a place designated in Jerusalem. And if you turn back in your Bibles just to the 13th chapter of 1 Chronicles, you see a piece of the story in chapter 13 of 1 Chronicles. In verse 9 it says, "When they came to the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark because the oxen nearly upset it. The anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, so that he struck him down because he put out his hand to the ark, and he died there before the Lord. Earlier, the Ark of the Covenant had been captured by the Philistines, and the Philistines suffered because the Ark of the Covenant was in their possession. It was not only in their possession, but they put the Ark of the Covenant in the temple of Dagon, their god. And you remember the story how Dagon fell on his face in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant. And this was not only the case, but the severe disease and death came upon the Philistines. And so they decided they'd better send the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel. And they did so. And when they did so, the Ark of the Covenant came to a place in Beth Shemesh, a little town, and it was housed there for a time. And then it came to the place of Kiriath Jearim, and it was housed there for a time. And there was a period of about 20 years where the Ark of the Covenant was not present with the people in Jerusalem, the city of David, which was to be called the city of God. And now there was the desire to bring the Ark of the Covenant up to the city of David. And so a cart was hewn. A brand new cart. Well, that would be an appropriate thing to do, wouldn't it? They put the Ark of the Covenant on the brand new cart, and Uzzah and Ahio were a couple of the individuals who were the drivers of the cart, and the cart's going along, and there are others present, and they hit a rut in the road, and oops, there goes the Ark of the Covenant slipping off the cart. And Uzzah puts his hand on the Ark of the Covenant to steady it. And it's like lightning coming out of heaven. And he's struck dead immediately. And we wonder about that. Well, look at our text again in 1 Chronicles 15 and verse 13. Because you did not carry it at first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us, for we did not seek him according to the ordinance. Well, this was the situation. And after a period of time, pondering the situation, David realizes that the problem was that they did not carry out this procedure in the proper way. That really was the problem. And there was this outburst against the people of Israel, which centered in Uzzah and the slaying of this man who touched the Ark of the Covenant. And pondering this, David realized that they had not followed the law of God. That the law of God stipulated. And you can go back to Numbers chapter 4 and look this up. That the law of God stipulated that the sons of Kohath were to carry the ark. And that the ark was to be covered appropriately. And that the way they were to carry it was that there were to be poles or staves that were put through rings on the ark. And that the ark was to be carried on their shoulders. And that the word of God specifically stipulated that they were not to touch that sacred object. And God said to them, if you touch it, you will die. Matthew Henry says we should recall the words of God in the garden, where God said to Adam and Eve, if you eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, you will surely die. And it's a witness to the grace of God and the mercy of God that Adam and Eve were not struck dead immediately in the garden. God had plans. And it's the same idea with the law of God concerning the Ark of the Covenant. If you touch it, you'll die. And that's what happened to Uzzah. It was a violation of the law of God. And the idea that we should carry from this is that these violations of the law of God carry with them penalties And those penalties sometimes are drastic, and God is prepared to execute the penalties. He's prepared to do that. And that's what happened to Uzzah. And now David realizes, in verse 13 of 1 Chronicles 15, because you, the proper people, did not carry it at first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us. And David says, for we did not seek him according to the ordinances. You see, there are a couple of principles here. We are to seek the Lord. One of the reasons for our existence, dear friends, is that we should seek the Lord our God. Keep your finger there in 1 Chronicles and look, if you would please, at Acts chapter 17. Just a couple of verses in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verses 26 and 27. And then we'll go back to 1 Chronicles 15. Here, the Apostle Paul is describing the creation of humanity and the reason for that creation, or at least one of the reasons for that creation. Verse 26 in Acts 17. He, that is God, made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth. This is what God did. Having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God. That they would seek God in order to seek God. What was one of the purposes for the creation of each one of us? That we should seek God. That we should seek after God. Back to 1 Chronicles chapter 15. You see, this is part of the background of the text. For we did not seek him according to the ordinance. I think the King James Version uses the word consult. That we did not consult him according to the ordinances. See, that's part of the idea of seeking the Lord, to consult with him. Now, how many of you, when you have a difficulty, have a friend with whom you consult in order to get advice with regard to that difficulty? Do you? You have somebody you call on the phone and you talk to them and you get a little advice concerning a particular difficulty that you might encounter? Most of us have people like that. And the idea here is that we should come to God and we should consult with him. We should seek his face. We should look to him and draw near to him and consult with him concerning whatever it might be. And that's part of what we're doing today, I would say to you. That it's not just that we come together and sing a couple of psalms and have some prayer and read the Bible. But it's that we come to consult with God. That he's our counselor and our Lord. And we draw near to him to hear his voice. This would be the idea of it. And it's my job, it's my particular calling to lead you. And I don't say that I do this as I ought. But it seems to me it's my particular job, and it's my particular calling, and it's my objective. It really is my objective. That when we look into the Scriptures and read the Scriptures together and talk with one another, that you would really hear the voice of Jesus. And that when you hear the voice of Jesus, particular things would happen in your life. Jesus himself says, when you hear my voice, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And so we're to seek the Lord and to consult with him. And not only so, the text tells us, look at it again in 1 Chronicles 15, 13, because you did not carry it at the first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us, for we did not seek him according to the ordinance. We must not only seek the Lord, but we must seek the Lord in accordance with his ordinances. Now, each one of us lives in a particular community. And in this community, our office happens to be right across from the city office. And there in the back of the city office, the city council meets, and they will vote to approve ordinances, city ordinances. And what are those ordinances? Those are rules or laws which govern the city, right? I mean, this is what happens. And that's what ordinances are. They're rules by which the life of the community is governed. And that's what these ordinances are. These are rules by which the life of the community of Israel was governed. And they are rules by which the life of our community is governed. And those rules come out of the Bible. They're God's ordinances. They're God's rules. They're God's stipulations. And what the text is telling us is that we not only need to consult with God, but that we need to consult with God the way He prescribes. Now, this is kind of interesting, I think. Those of you who visit in our congregation and are not members of our congregation, and we're glad that you do visit in our congregation, and we're glad that you worship with us, and we're glad, we really are. And it's been said that this church does things a little differently. Well, you know, I don't want to go there extensively, but why do we do things the way we do them? It's because we believe this is what God would have us do. This involves the ordinances. I remember having a conversation with one of the professors at the college after he and his family had visited with us on one occasion. And he said to me, "Well, it's fine to sing the Psalms, but when do we get to sing our songs? When do I get to sing my songs?" And I said, "That's the very point. That's the very point. In doing what God requests and prescribes and desires. That's the very point. And that's the point of the text." See? Look at it again. In 1 Chronicles 15:13, "Because you did not carry it at first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us, for we did not seek Him according to the ordinance." And so there is a prescription to be followed. Why is it that we have so much difficulty following prescriptions that God would give when we have so little difficulty following the prescriptions that our local doctor will give and are filled by our local pharmacist? Well, let's look at the text again. So I say in the outline, with reference to this text, we too must seek the Lord properly using the designated ordinances. And in the fourth point, we too must seek the Lord properly using the designated ordinances. And what it comes down to is this. As I say in the fifth point in the outline, we seek the Lord by reading, studying, and sitting under the teaching of Scripture, and by engaging in private, family, and corporate prayer. We seek the Lord doing these things. The Catechism, the Westminster Shorter Catechism, asks the question, what are the outward means whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of redemption? What are the means that God uses to communicate to us the benefits of the redemption purchased by our Lord Jesus Christ? Now listen to the answer. The outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of redemption are His... Does anyone know the answer?
are his ordinances. See, there's that word again. The outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of redemption are his ordinances. Then the Catechism goes on to stipulate particular ordinances, especially the Word, the sacraments, and prayer. So what are three of those ordinances? Three of those ordinances are the Word and the utilization of the Word of God, the sacraments, and prayer. Now, this has profound implications, friends. Years ago, I read a book by J.I. Packer called Knowing God. And some of you may have read that book. It's been out for a long time. In that book, Knowing God by Packer, Packer talks about Abraham's encounters with God. And Packer observes that although several encounters with God are packed into a few chapters in Genesis, those encounters with God occur over a number of years. And Packer goes on to observe that it's those encounters with God that we would like to have. And so sometimes what we do is that we would like to encounter God as Abraham encountered God. So we'll go out on a starry night on a hillside and hope to encounter God. Or we'll go into the forest and hope to encounter God in the forest. And Packer goes on to observe this. Why is it that we should expect to have profound encounters with God like this when the ordinary way in which we draw near to God is through Scripture and through prayer? And if we are unwilling to use the ordinary means of drawing near to God, how is it that we should expect that God would reveal himself if we launch out utilizing some extraordinary means? Wouldn't it be more logical, and I think this is the case, wouldn't it be more logical that he would reveal himself as we use the ordinary means? And I think that's the case of the Word and the sacraments and prayer. And we come to vital encounters with God as we ply the pages of Scripture and seek Him in Scripture. And as we come before Him in prayer and talk, not to ourselves, because this is not some sort of psychological event, but speak with God. And then look to Him in His Word to hear His voice. What a wonderful thing. What a good thing God has done for us in this. And the great thing about this is that one of God's ordinances is not only the sacraments, plural, but the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. That's one of His ordinances. And we are called upon to seek Him in His ordinances. See, I think that's the burden of the text. And what happened to Israel, and what happened with Uzzah and David and that company was exactly what we see in the text. 1 Chronicles 15, verse 13. Because you did not carry it at first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us, for we did not seek Him according to the ordinance. And now, dear friends, the ordinance which is particularly before us is the Lord's Supper. And our approach to the table of the Lord. And what must we do? We must understand the ordinance, the Lord's Supper, that in it our Lord Jesus took bread, and having blessed it, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is for you." And we take the bread, and we remember the work of Jesus in dying for us. And we feed upon him. Not in a corporal or carnal manner, but by faith. We feed on him. And in like manner, we take the cup. And as Jesus said, "Drink it. For this cup is the new covenant in my blood." And we drink of the cup. And we recognize our union with Jesus Christ in his sacrifice. And we feed on him. That's an ordinance. And it's not just symbolism, but it is more. It is a means of grace to us in which we meet our Lord. And so I would encourage you and I would urge you, as we have looked at this particular text in 1 Chronicles, to understand that we do indeed seek his face as we're together. And we have an opportunity to hear his voice as we're together. And we have an opportunity in a more particular way, in a more unique way, to feast upon our Lord Jesus as we come to the table. This, it seems to me, is one of the great imports of this text. Because you did not carry it at the first, the Lord God made an outburst on us, for we did not seek him according to the ordinance. May we come together, dear friends, even now, and seek his face, the face of Jesus, the face of God, in this ordinance which is before us now. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that you've been pleased to bless us with your word. Speak to us in it and through it. And Father, grant that we may seek your face as we proceed now to this particular ordinance of the Lord's Supper, which you, in your grace and providence, have given to us, that we might, in this particular way, meet with Jesus. Bless us to this end, we ask in his name. Amen.